Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you may stand if you want to. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You may be seated. That, my friend, is a short record of how the church was born. The church was born in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And what I find shocking and appalling today is how many denominations, how many local churches, and particularly how many pastors just decide something is inconvenient, are not readily accepted, and so even though it's in the Word of God, they just delete it. It's no longer important. Friend, if it was important in any age, it's still important. If it's in the Bible, it's important. The Holy Spirit is stirring my spirit like ashes, like hot ashes, like a fire, about the condition of the church, not this local church, the condition of God's church worldwide. Because this world is headed for a Christ with destiny that's not going to be pretty. And the politicians are not going to resolve that. We are doing things as a nation that are strictly prohibited in the Word of God. There's difference in a woman having an abortion than the government passing a law saying it's okay. When it becomes the law of the land, it takes on a different meaning. And friend, we are ticking toward judgment. God must judge the world. He must judge America or apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. This world is in a free fall. One Democrat senator said it looks like a race to the bottom now. And he's exactly right. But I don't think that it's just going to turn around at an election. Just because we change leaders as a governor or as a senator, congressperson, as a president, suddenly America is going to be on the right track. I don't think so. I think the change that has to be done has to start at the church. And there has to be a shaking and awakening of the church. We should study the book of Revelations in the seven churches of Asia and see all the things that Christ condemned in those churches and recognize how prevalent they are in the modern church of America today and follow Christ's instructions on how to reverse that and rectify that. And it starts with what I've been talking about the last two Sundays. It starts with the power of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing on earth as powerful as the Holy Spirit of God. It's not might. It's not power. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. It's not might. It's not power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I know that there are old preachers particularly and old saints that have given up on the church and they think that we're just going to hold on these last days to an eroding Laodicean church. But that's not God's plan and that's not God's pattern. God is going to save a lot of people. And the revival, the restoration, the mid-course change that has to take place is not going to start at the election ballot. It's going to start in the pulpits and the altars of the American church. We must be set afire. And I read a whole article late last night. In fact, about 4 o'clock this morning. I don't get the privilege of sleeping. You know, you can blame it on old age or you can say it's the Holy Spirit, but I don't have the privilege of sleeping straight through like I used to. I used to just go to sleep, and when I woke up, it was time to get up. I go to sleep now, and I look at the clock, and 15 minutes have passed, and I thought it was 3 or 4 hours. And then I'm awake for 2 or 3 hours. And during that time, I will read scriptures and listen to the Lord. And when I hear the Lord speaking, He's speaking to me about this very subject, that we must realize the church has got to change. The church has got to become the church. And we can only do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. It began on the day of Pentecost. And I will not refresh your memory on what Pentecost means and the feast days and all of that. But I will tell you that the church began on the day of Pentecost. That Christ talked about Pentecost in His day. That Pentecost was vital in the book of Acts and the church. And it's vital today. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. And it is now a flame that is burning in the world. But it's got to get bigger. It's got to be stronger. It's got to be allowed to burn out all the chaff, that we will become God's church. Jesus Christ talked about it. The only 2 times that Jesus cried with a loud voice was when He was forgiving the people that crucified Him. He cried with a loud voice, said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And the other time that Christ got emotional and cried with a loud voice is when He was prophesying about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we would experience. And I have experienced in my life. So ladies and gentlemen, if there's a hope for America, it's in the church. But the church is a sleeping, lethargic giant that must be awakened. And the only thing that will help us is not better programs, not more social programs, not housing people better, feeding people better, providing medicine better. All of those things are worthy endeavors, but that's not what the church is for. The church is for eternity, to seek and to save that which is lost. And it cannot be done like it's a college or a college classroom. It's only done by the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, how can I help my country and how can I help my world? And that is by becoming the on fire, born again, child of God, soldier that God needs you to be in this day and hour. And so when the power of Pentecost fell, the Holy Spirit fell on that first birthday of the church in Acts chapter 2. It was an amazing thing. There were 500 originally in that upper room. But the time they waited 7 to 10 days, 380 of those people had disappeared, just like a church. They got tired of waiting on the promise. It's down to 120, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. And suddenly the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And these people were transformed. When Christ spoke of the Holy Spirit, He always spoke in future tense. It was never present or past tense. It was always future tense. When He walked on this earth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not available, but He would prophesy about it. He would talk to His disciple Peter and say, "When thou art converted," always future tense. Well, that's what happened. This man named Peter that cursed at the cross and denied Christ at the crucifixion is on that day of Pentecost suddenly in power. This man that was known to be like a weed, like a little limb blown in the wind, suddenly becomes the rock that Christ said He would. Folks, I can tell you that the power of the Holy Spirit is so strong. If you receive God's Spirit, it will make up the deficiencies in your character. It will make up the missing parts of your personality. It will bring an anointing into your life. You will not be the same person. You won't be the same person for yourself, for your family, or for your friends. You will be empowered. Jesus said, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall have power. Acts 1 and 8. Ladies and gentlemen, the church is not powerful today. The legislators do what they want to do because they have no reverence or fear of the church. If they knew the church was a marching army that would rise up and rush to the ballot box to put them out, there would be no abortion in this country. There would be no pornography in this country. There would be no same-sex marriage in this country. But I'll tell you what, the only things the politicians fear today is those people that are voters that are not true Christians. The church of the living God must rise to the occasion to save this generation, and we will not do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was such an experience in those disciples' lives and those 120 people that were in that upper room. When they came out of the upper room and staggered down that staircase, the general population began to jeer and mock and said, "Look at these people, they are drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning and they're already drunk." Peter said, "Oh no, we are not drunk as ye suppose. We are drunk, but we are drunk on something else." Pastor Brandon is preaching an amazing series now and has been for the last few Wednesday nights. And he's talking about being intoxicated. He's talking about being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's been having amazing amounts of numbers of people getting filled with the Spirit at 11 and at 7 on Wednesday night. Whatever you preach is what you get. If you preach the Holy Spirit's going to show up. If Peter stood up and said, "These men are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He said, your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall have visions. I will pour it out on my young men and on my handmaids." He said, I will store the years that the caterpillar has eaten. Ladies and gentlemen, we as the church have lost time. We have lost years and we have lost people. But there is tucked in the prophecy of Pentecost in the last days a promise that God is going to restore the years. Some of you say, "I wish I'd have got saved when I was younger." God's going to give you more years and God is going to fulfill those years with more power. We are now begging, beseeching, and hungering for God to send the Holy Spirit. Somebody said to me the other day, one of my Catholic friends, and I have lots of them, he said, "It can't get no worse." I said, "Hold on, sir. It not only can get worse, it's going to get worse. And the only thing that is going to be the savior of this nation is a church that comes alive with the power of the Holy Spirit." If you name the name of Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, can I call you to prayer? Not in this service, but in your life. Can I ask you to not let one day go by where you don't find a time and place of prayer? Can I do that? Is that too much? Can I call you to a place where you will fast for your nation? Can I ask you to get hungry for the things of God? I'll tell you what God has done in my life. He has diminished the hunger for the things of this world. As the song said, they've become strangely dim. And my hunger now is at peak level, that I'm hungering for the Holy Spirit to fall as he said it would. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a young man, but I am young enough to see the prophecies fulfilled that God's going to pour his Spirit out of all of flesh. There's a revival coming to the church. There's a revival coming to your house. There's a revival coming to your family. There's a revival coming to your nation. But we need you. We need you to begin to pray and intercede in the name of Jesus Christ. They mocked them, said they're drunk. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an experience in God that will intoxicate you. You'll be happier than the happiest drunk you know. You'll be more motivated than the greatest addict. Do you understand that good people become addicts? And good people that are addicts will steal from their wife, steal from their husband, steal from their mama, steal from their dad, steal things, break down doors. That's not normal. They weren't like that before they became addicts. But they've got to feed that addiction. The Apostle Paul said, I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. We're talking about zeal of the house. We're talking about hunger. We're talking about addiction to where the number one thing on your calendar is not your job, but it's your God, and it's your experience, and it's your power, and it's your relationship. It's your church. It's your fellowship, because you realize God is depending on you. And so, friends, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. It did not stay in Jerusalem. It began to sweep the countryside until finally they would say, these men have turned the world upside down. Do you believe, Pastor, really, that the Christian church can get so endued with the power of the Holy Spirit that we can turn America upside down? We need to, because America's on her head. She's upside down. She needs to be turned around, turned over, turned upside down again. And nobody's about to do it if you don't do it. God doesn't have an alternative except you and me. God doesn't have an alternative to His church. We must be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit began to spread through the countryside from village to village. The next place we read about it is in Samaria. And they did not even have a full-time preacher. They didn't have an apostle. They had a little guy by the name Philip. The Bible said he went down and began to preach the word and the things concerning the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said they received the word of God. You see, that's where the church makes a vast mistake. We think that when people say they receive Christ, that they've got all that God's got for them. That's just the starting point. That's not the end result. When Samaria received the word, they had received Christ. That's what he preached. But they still were not empowered. And so when the disciples heard that they had received the word, they made their way to join Philip in Samaria. And when they got down there, the Bible said it this way. They had received the word, but the Holy Ghost had not yet fallen on any of them. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is not the same thing as accepting Christ. Friend, it is an experience that Christ talked about. He said, you must be born again. Somebody said, I'm a woman and I was attracted. I was born this way. I'm attracted to other women. I'm a man. I'm attracted to other men. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can get born again. And Christ will change all of that. Change all of that. I'm sorry. I can't accept the President of the United States' word over God's word. I can't accept the governor's word over God's word. I can't accept the preacher on TV's word over God's word. When the Bible said it's an abomination, it's still an abomination. And God will deal with it. I promise you that. But ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that can change a nature is the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no difference in you having a desire for the same sex than as a heterosexual having a desire for somebody that they're not married to. You overcome that lust. You bring it under subjection. You say, I just can't do that. Sure, you can't do that by the power of the flesh. That's the reason why you got to be. You must be. Don't you see? You got to be born again. Jesus said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And when they came down to Samaria, they met these people and said, these people have received the word. They believe on Jesus Christ that Philip preached, but they did not need to receive all of God's power. The Bible said Christ had the Spirit without measure. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the will of God that every confessing Christian in the world and in America receive the Spirit of God without measure. You simply cannot do what God has called you to do and be what God has called you to be unless you get Christ's Spirit without measure. It's got to flow. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, not as Living Way said, not as the church said, not as the Catholic Church said, not as the Baptist Church. He said, believeth on me as the Scripture has said, out out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. This is what Jesus shouted about. And God wants every Christian to be that empowered. And so when they got down there, they recognized that they had accepted Philip's teaching. But they realized that they had not been empowered with the Holy Spirit. For the Bible said it this way, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Friend, it was an experience. Let me tell you what you're supposed to be if you're a Christian. Number one, you're supposed to have an experience with Christ. Jesus called that being born again. The second thing is Jesus talked about, I'll cast them out because they don't have a relationship with me. First of all, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to have an experience. Get born again. Secondly, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to have a relationship. And thirdly, Christ said to Peter, when you are converted, feed my sheep. You have to have a ministry. Do you know the Bible said the ministry of the saints? I know that it's kind of a thought in Christianity that you get saved and set down, and that's all there is to it. But no, I'm telling you that every born-again Christian that has an experience, everyone that has a relationship, I got bad news for you. You're a preacher whether you want to be or not. You might not be a pulpit preacher, but you're a preacher everywhere you go. You're either telling people the truth or you are a preacher that's silent. But God expects you to stand up and speak out. These are the days, like the three Hebrew children, we will not bow. We will stand for God. We will tell this generation that there is a living God. It didn't stop there. They went to the household of Cornelius. And the Bible said that Peter took Jews with him. Those Jews went. You know why the Jews went? They went because they were products of racism. Racism didn't happen in America. It happened when man was born. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, racism, because racism is nothing but hatred. It's hatred and pride. That's all racism is. And the Jews were eaten up with it. And what they were saying was, Pentecost has happened. The Holy Spirit has fallen. Christ died for our sins, but not for those dirty Gentiles, just us Jews. Anytime you start the phrase by just us, you're probably wrong. Just us. It's not just us, it's justice. It's for everybody. So the Jews went with Peter to make sure that the Gentiles were not allowed to come into the kingdom of God. What happens? Peter is preaching, and I can promise you if you get anointed, you will preach things you don't know, and you will learn while you're preaching. I promise you that. The Holy Spirit will cause you to hear things that circle around and come to your ear and say, wow, I didn't know that till I just said it, because it's not you saying it. Peter was just like the rest of them. He was a biased, racist Jew. And all of a sudden, he's preaching to the household of Cornelius, which were Gentiles. And he said, I tell you that God is no respecter of persons. The Jews hadn't believed that for 4,000 years. They believed that God was a respecter of persons. And when Peter said that, the Jews rose up. They were ready to set Peter down, to shut him up, to pull his credentials and destroy his pulpit. But the Bible said it this way. When Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. So what does that tell you, Pastor? It tells me that the Holy Spirit is for the white, the black, the brown, the yellow, the red, the male, the female, the homosexual, that the Holy Spirit is. Say, will God give the Holy Spirit to people that are not perfect? Apparently, I got it a long time ago. I wasn't perfect then, and I'm not perfect now, but I've had it all these years. He doesn't just give it to perfect people. He gives it to perfect people. That's the reason why you receive the Holy Spirit. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. Ladies and gentlemen, I've asked you to pray as your pastor, as a founding pastor of this church and the bishop. I've asked you to pray. What should I pray for, Pastor? Pray that the Holy Ghost will fall, that the Holy Ghost will fall. I can't get people to live right. I don't have the authority, the power, or the intellect. But if the Holy Spirit comes upon people, it will transform their life. It will cause them to treat their spouses right. It'll cause them to treat their children right. It'll cause them to treat their enemies right. The Holy Spirit can do more in one split second than I can do in 48 years. Would you pray, church? Would you pray that the Holy Spirit fall like it did in the household of Cornelius? If we would allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do, I promise you it wouldn't only change this local church, it will change your house. It'll change your family. It'll change your kids. You say, I just can't do nothing with my teenager. I can believe that. Your teenager is getting so much bad information and bad influence every day of his life. I'm surprised they're doing as good as they're doing. But you say, I just can't really get him saved. I promise you, if the Holy Spirit falls like he wants to fall, there'll be a revival, not just at Living Way, but there'll be a revival in your house. Your children will begin to surprise you. You'll have 16-year-old kids that are trying to sneak dope in your house, and all of a sudden there'll be a 16-year-old preacher wanting to gather people at the flagpole on their high school campus. I tell you, the Holy Spirit, there's nothing like him. He is amazing, and he's in this building now. And there is a stretching and straining of the Holy Spirit. He is saying, let me go. Let me do what I want to do. Let me move like I want to move. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. All the Bible tells us that this was the admonition given to us, and that was, hinder not the Holy Spirit. Will you always be so stiff-necked and uncircumcised that you resist the Holy Spirit? Resist not the Holy Spirit. If you're in this building today, you are a candidate to become an apostle, a disciple of Almighty God. Throw your prescribed ideas aside and say, God, I'm hungry for you. America's got to be saved. My family's got to be saved. There is a heaven. There is a hell. What can I do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can get on fire of the Holy Spirit, not just in church, but every day of your life. In your house, you're praising God. As you're driving down the road, you're singing praise to Almighty God. This is our finest day. Hallelujah. I didn't get near through with what I wanted to talk about today. But ladies and gentlemen, if I will preach what God's given me, and God will give you the ears to hear, this revival, this restoration that I'm talking about can start right here in Living Way Church. We can change the churches. You think, well, churches are not very, they're not very connected anymore. You would be surprised how connected we are. You'd be surprised how many churches know what happens in this church. And how much I know about what's happened in other churches. We're still connected whether you think we are or not. And I promise you, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to flow like God wants it to, not just allow it, but make it. You shouldn't just be allowing it, but you should be striving for it to happen, praying for it to happen. The violent take it by force. The kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. It would not be long. If we allowed the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in this church, like a wildfire, like a wind blowing an ember, it'd be happening in another church across town. The Bible said the Spirit is like the wind, and the wind bloweth where it listeth. The Holy Spirit can't be kept behind church walls. If we'll let the Holy Spirit do who he wants to be in this church, it will change not only this local church, it will change dozens and hundreds of churches in San Antonio, and we will affect this city. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? What are you hungry for? It's what you will receive. When you study hunger, you understand it stole Esau's birthright and caused him to die lost, his hunger. And you will see that it caused Jacob, which was not in the rightful posture, to be who he wanted to become the man that they called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their God. Hunger. What are you hungry for? Does it matter to you that many of your family members are going to hell? Do you really believe that? You say, well, I'm not sure there's a heaven or hell. Then you believe Jesus was a liar. Jesus spoke more on hell than anybody else in the Bible. It's a reality, folks. You say, well, it's just America's too far gone. I refuse to bow to that thinking.